From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. Pro-union forces at the Wisconsin Capitol have fallen quiet this evening after the state assembly endorsed legislation to sharply reduce public employees' collective bargaining rights. Wisconsin Public Radio's Sean Johnson reports there's virtually no question the bill will become law.
The Wisconsin State Assembly gave final approval to the plan with all but four Republicans voting yes and all Democrats voting no. Their action came a day after a surprise vote in the state Senate, where Republicans reworded the plan just enough so that they could pass it without a quorum, even though their 14 Democratic colleagues remained out of state. Republican Representative Robin Voss called it a tough decision that will help the state balance its budget for years to come.
It will show to the people of Wisconsin and to the people of our country that we are not afraid to make hard decisions.
Democrats say the plan amounts to a gutting of long-standing labor peace laws. Republican Governor Scott Walker is expected to sign the bill soon. For NPR News, I'm Sean Johnson in Madison.
The director of national intelligence, James Clapper, found himself at odds with the rest of the Obama administration Thursday when he predicted the regime of Libya's Muammar Gaddafi would prevail over rebels.
This is kind of a stalemate back and forth, but I think over the longer term that the regime will prevail.
That in Senate testimony. Hours later, a senior White House official convened a briefing of reporters to say that President Obama expects a disgraced Gaddafi to leave power. In the strategic oil port of Ras Lanuf, Gaddafi's loyalists threw rebels into a frantic retreat. The counteroffensive reversed the opposition's advance toward Tripoli and now threatens its positions in the east. Britain has condemned Iran for supplying the Taliban with sophisticated weapons seized in Afghanistan by British special forces and Afghan troops. As Larry Miller reports, the foreign secretary accused Tehran of trying to destabilize the region.
NATO officials say the shipment seized after a firefight in early February included 48 rockets with a range of 20 kilometers and 1,000 rounds of ammunition. Foreign Secretary William Hague says there's no doubt the weapons came from Iran, and he's extremely concerned. He labeled Iran's behavior as completely unacceptable. Hague says the find is at odds with Iran's claim that it supports stability and security in Afghanistan. He instructed the British ambassador in Iran to lodge a formal protest. There's been no comment from Tehran. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
The Los Angeles Police Department has confirmed a raid at the home of actor Charlie Sheen. His rants post-TV sitcom Firing have become a TV news staple. On Wall Street, the Dow down 228 points. This is NPR. Residents in the Northeast and parts of the Midwest nervously watched rising waterways Thursday as heavy rain swelled creeks and rivers, damaged houses, and detoured commuters. The National Weather Service issued a flood warning for the Delaware River from north of Philadelphia through southern New Jersey, where moderate coastal flooding was predicted. Drug maker AstraZeneca will pay more than $68 million as part of a multi-state settlement over the company's promotion of an antipsychotic drug for unapproved uses. From member station KUOW in Seattle, Patricia Murphy reports.
Attorneys general from 36 states and Washington, D.C. allege that AstraZeneca marketed its blockbuster drug Seroquel for off-label use. Washington State Attorney General Rob McKenna says the practice is illegal and dangerous.
They're promoting Seroquel to treat dementia and Alzheimer's disease in the elderly, even though Seroquel has never been approved for the treatment of those conditions, and even though AstraZeneca never established that Seroquel is safe and effective for those uses.
Under the terms of the deal, the drug maker admitted no wrongdoing. Seven states who did not join the settlement are still suing the company. Last year, U.S. sales of the drug topped $5 billion. For NPR News, I'm Patricia Murphy in Seattle.
Arizona's Hispanic population comprises nearly 30% of that state's 6.4 million residents, according to a census count that began in April of 2010. That is up from more than 25% in the 2000 census, but down slightly from estimates in 2009, with 31% of the population. Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.
Support for